Now, Sinn Féin will be holding a meeting in Carrigsaveen tonight about the state of healthcare in the South Kerry area, particular focus on the situation with regards to GP availability in the Iveragh Peninsula. Health spokesperson David Cullinan will be there as part of an invite from Stephanie O'Shea, who is running for Sinn Féin in the area in the local elections. I spoke to him shortly before coming in here, and first of all asked him why he's coming and what Sinn Féin plan to do or would do if they were in government to fix the problems.
Well, good morning, Gerry, first. And yes, first of all, I was invited to attend a public meeting tonight, which has been hosted by Stephanie O'Shea, who is our candidate in the Carrigsaveen area for the local elections. I have been aware for some time that we have real challenges in GP services in many rural areas, but especially in South Kerry. I know it's an issue that Pat Daly has been raising for some time as well, and other Oireachtas members in Kerry. And at the moment in the Carrigsaveen area, my understanding is historically there were 6 GPs servicing that area, which includes Waterville. It's now down to 3, which includes a locum providing support on a temporary basis, and it's a temporary contract. It's also my understanding that there is a GP set to retire sometime in the summer, which could potentially leave that entire area with 1 GP. And I know from experience in other areas, Gerry, what can happen then is that people are waiting longer for appointments, which again I'm being told is already happening. People have to fall back on out of hours GP care for routine appointments, which is obviously not ideal. But also people then end up going into emergency departments and hospitals because they don't have the option of seeing a GP in a timely fashion. And for people, the vast majority of people, the first entry point into the health service is through your GP. And if you don't have timely access, then you have to look at alternative care pathways. And that in turn then would put pressure on your hospital in Kerry and other parts of the health service. So there are obvious problems. I know there was a challenge as well in establishing a primary care centre. And what I would say is that the purpose of me attending the Carrigsaveen area and listening to people is to engage, to listen, but also to then raise the issues with the HSE at a very senior level, which I intend to do. To look at, well, what are the solutions? And I think the immediate solution is to try and find a replacement GP. That has been done in other areas. It's not easy, but it can be done. We have proposed in some of these areas where we have challenges, Gerry, that the state and the HSE would look at directly hired GPs or salary GPs that would work in HSE centres. That's something that I know many young trainees coming out of training colleges are interested in, because for a lot of them, they don't want to be entrepreneurs. They don't want the hassle of establishing independent practices. Some do, but some don't. So having bespoke contracts, public contracts and salary GPs, in my view, is one of the solutions that we need to look at to deal with this challenge, which is not just happening in Carrigsaveen. I know we had similar challenges in other parts of Kerry in the past, but we also have it across many rural areas. And I think we have to be looking at all of these options, but the primary responsibility for fixing and addressing this problem obviously now lies with the HSE. And can I also say that the Cork Kerry Community Healthcare area, which covers obviously the entirety of Cork and Kerry, holds just over 400 GMS contracts with GPs. There are 2 vacancies, and one of those vacancies is in Carrigsaveen. So it is an issue that the HSE obviously has to put a focus on, and we need to find a solution. And what I intend to do on the invitation of Stephanie O'Shea and Damien Quigg is to come to the area to listen to what residents and what patients are saying and their experience.
As part of the solution, would you pay more to GPs to locate in rural areas?
Yes, is the short answer. So I've met with the head of the Department of Health, but also the head of the HSE on this wider issue, because I've also met with many GPs who are retiring and can't retire. They're hanging on because they can't find replacements. And many of them tell me that there are challenges in having independent practice, because GPs who are training to become doctors also end up then becoming entrepreneurs and have to run very busy practices. They also tell me that the current contract is not fit for purpose, because the staffing subsidies have to be used in a certain way. And I think the experience of many GPs is that the contract itself is archaic, it needs to be updated, it needs to be more flexible. And the days of GPs working 70, 80, 90 hours a week is not something that's sustainable
yeah.
for those young people who want a better
Do we have to, on the sense that you're saying, look, these contracts might be the answer, and it's clear some sort of an innovative situation needed, but this is a problem that's not unique to Ireland. This is a problem all over Western Europe. In developed countries, some of the reasons because some of those countries have let the training of GPs fall by the wayside, not enough people encouraged to get involved, not enough GP positions to be trained for. But the other reasons, the nature of the job has completely changed. The house call element of it is gone. So an entirely different way of looking at it needs to happen. Is that not the reality?
It is, but I think you have to look at all of the solutions. So the first and obvious thing we have to do is train more GPs. And there has been additional training places made available in recent years, but much more needs to be done. I've spoken directly to the Minister for Health on this a number of times in the Dáil. He's talking about a doubling of training places, but we're far short of even that target. Last year, over the course of the last 2 years, I think there was 40 additional training places. But what we need is much more ambitious targets in relation to increasing capacity in that area. If we're training more GPs, then we have more options, and some of those people who are coming out of training will want to be independent practitioners, and that's fair enough. I think some would want to be directly hired GPs. That would be an option. They can then work out of HSE centres and provide then services through these GMS contracts. We also have to look at the primary care centre, which is needed in this area, and I know there was a planning issue which has held this up and knocked it back, but again the HSE have to look at infrastructure in the area, because if you have a primary care centre, then it opens up possibilities for other staff to be part of that and other services, and that has worked in other areas where primary care centres are up and running. It does attract other healthcare professionals into an area. So these are the solutions that the HSE yeah. needs to work on. There's no one solution to any of these problems, but what we can't accept and what will be unacceptable is that in the Carrigskeen area, by the summer or by the end of the year, that we go from at a height having six GPs to having one. And the problem with that then, Gerry, is if people don't have timely access to a GP, as I said,
they funnel into the emergency department, and that creates a further crisis for the wider hospital.
They wait longer,
area.
Which means that they are not getting the speedy service that they need, okay. and their healthcare needs will deteriorate. That's the first problem. And yes, the second is then they have to use out of various GP services, which are already stretched and are not geared up to deal with routine appointments, or they end up in hospital. So I'm not saying that there is a magic solution here, but what I am saying is that there are solutions which have been deployed in other areas.
Okay.
And given it's only one of two vacancies across 400 in the wider Cork Kerry region, I don't think it's beyond the HSE
to fix the problem. Okay, all right. Finally, on a separate issue, your party, David, is being accused of incoherence and your ambiguous stance on climate action and policies in these areas, with the vote of MEP for Sinn Féin, Chris McManus, against the Nature Restoration Law. Fine Gael Centre MEP candidate in the upcoming European elections, Regina Doherty, said your party is flip-flopping on the issue. What's your response to that?
No, I don't accept that, because we set out a number of red lines in relation to supporting nature restoration and what was being proposed through the European Union. And we do support it in principle. But what we said is that the funding has to be made available. And the problem is that at the 11th hour, the funding which would underpin this was then removed. You can't ask farmers to do all of this and then say states have to implement it if the funding is not there. We have always said that farmers, in Ireland especially, are leaders in relation to environmental practices. They want to be able to support all of these areas, as do we, because we need to reach our climate action targets. But we also have to support farmers, and we've engaged very, very closely with farming organisations on this issue over the last number of months. We have to listen to what rural communities and farmers are telling us. But when you put plans in place, and we've seen this far too often in the past, where very ambitious climate action targets are set. And by the way, this government has never met any of its targets. And the reason why they haven't met targets is because it's easy to produce plans and it's easy to set targets. But if you don't have them underpinned by practical mechanisms in terms of how you deliver, but also funding, then
but are members of your party not at cross purposes on this? MEP candidate for Dublin, Senator Lynn Boylan, tweeted her support of the ratification of the law by the Parliament, delighted with the news. And on the other hand, Chris McManus is voting against it.
Well, obviously,
are you speaking out of both sides of your mouth?
No, and obviously Lynn has to speak for herself, but Lynn's view on this is that, as is mine, as is the party, that of course we support nature.
It looks like you've two different views.
No, there is.
From what she welcomed it, but Chris McManus voted against it. What message did that send to the voter?
Well, if I can just make the point, we in Sinn Féin are in favour of nature restoration. We worked very closely with many colleagues in the European Union to make sure that we get this right. But we also worked very closely with farming organisations, and it became clear that the red lines that we set down, that we said had to be in place for us to support this, including the funding to underpin it, was pulled at the 11th hour by the Commission. We can't have a situation where you set targets and put plans in place that then can't be delivered or which are not underpinned by the appropriate funding. So of course Lynn, who's an environmentalist, and of course Sinn Féin as a party, is in favour of nature restoration, and of course plans need to be supported, but they also need to be funded. And we can't continue with this notion, which is happening time and again. If you look at every single climate action target which has been set by this government and previous governments, every single one of them has been missed. And they've all been missed because it's very easy, as we have pointed out continuously, to say to farmers or say to general society that here are the targets, but we're not going to, as a state, support implementing those targets through funding. So I don't believe there's cross purposes, and I don't believe there's different positions. We have a position that we support nature restoration, but it also has to be underpinned by practical.
All right, David Cullen, we're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time, but thanks very much for talking to us on the programme this morning.